Hi, I'm Anne. Hi, it's my great pleasure to introduce Hera. Hera and I met about 16 years ago, and she brought great warmth into my life at that time, and I had no idea how wonderful a friend she was going to become to me. She's a sister of my heart, and she has a wonderful recovery story, which we will let her tell you without further ado. This is Hera.
Hi, everybody. I'm Hera, and I'm an alcoholic. That woman taught me how to laugh again and showed me how to laugh at myself, which is so important in recovery. And I'm so excited to be here. Wow, what a day. I've planned a lot of stuff in my life. A lot of events and stuff, and this is a very put together event. You guys have checked all the boxes. I move around, that's the only problem. You know, I'm not gonna stand. I'm a mover, so I might have to move and you might not hear me. They've checked all the boxes here, and I'm really amazed. I wasn't really nervous about this until I sat there right before and, so by the book. I don't know. Yeah, give me a movable one. Because I'm not. Oh boy, that helpful. Because I'm not a book, kind of by the book kind of person. So this is very helpful to me. You know, thank you, committee. Thank you for asking me to speak. I mean, this is really something. You know, there was a time in my life that I could not think of getting through a day without a drink. My primary purpose was how much alcohol was I going to get in me on a daily basis and get away with it. That was the kicker. I had to get away with it. Propping up that facade, figuring out how much alcohol, where to get it, and how to cover my tracks, how to hide so much. God, just saying that, I realized how much time and energy it took. And but that's what my life was exactly like. And to be able to be asked to speak, to be able to be right here in front of you guys, I mean, that's the miracle of the program. That's the miracle of AA, but that's the miracle of all our recovery programs. It's the miracle of those 12 steps. Those you know, doing those 12 steps saved my life. But using those steps as much as I can on a daily basis, and that is, God, that's such a learning process how to do that. That's what's changed my life. And I'm so grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous. I just want to say, you know, I started drinking at 21. I was a graduate student in that beautiful town of Chicago. All they do is drink beer there. But what alcohol was to me was freedom. And it was my chance to let go. You know, I came from a very authoritarian household. It was my chance to finally be a bad girl. And I loved it, but you know, I didn't start till about that age. But one thing is for sure, because I'm Greek And they give wine to everybody, you know, when you're little. It didn't matter. One thing that was very certain that I saw, even as a little girl, when I drank wine, when they gave me wine, my personality changed completely. And so the two kind of things that happen, which I've learned, all this is in retrospect, is once I start drinking, I cannot stop drinking. And once I start drinking, my personality changes, and it's unpredictable what's gonna happen. And you know, I can say that now, but while I was living it, I mean, this is all in retrospect. I didn't know that. You know, reading, for me, reading the big book is what started my recovery. When it says that we are unlike other people, what I realized is that alcoholism is not a sin, it's a disease. And once you put alcohol in my body, it just affects me differently than it does other people. On a cellular level, like down to the mitochondria, and I could relate to that, and that thought was the beginning of my recovery. And reading the big book, I would just go, yes, yes, that's what it's like. Yes, that's, I felt that. And that identification was the beginning of the process for me, and I'm just so grateful for that book. I ended up being a kitchen drunk. I had a lot of experiences in my life with drugs and alcohol, but this is AA. I ended up, I just want to say, being a kitchen drunk, drinking about 2 bottles of wine a night, and I had to open the 3rd one and put it in and have it ready in the fridge for the next night before I went to bed. Really, when I think about it now, how sick I was. And it fueled me to run around that house and do all the stuff that I had to do. And it worked for me, I guess, for a while there. But the most important part of that was I had no idea that I was kind of doing anything wrong. I was totally confident, convinced that it was my right to drink. It was my reward. I wasn't harming anybody else. That gave me a lot of mileage to do that. Slowly but surely, my alcohol crept into Friday mornings. I didn't work on Fridays. So somehow I'd start drinking on Friday morning too. And then slowly but surely, well, a wine bottle doesn't look good on the kitchen counter on Saturday morning. So I started stashing vodka underneath the cupboard. So as you can imagine, that was the beginning of the end. That was starting to feel that hopelessness and futility of the way we're living that I think is what we need, you know, to get here. We need to get here. I had gone and parked in a parking lot at St. John Vianney one October hungover morning. And I didn't have the courage, though, to go in to those rooms. I made all sorts of excuses. Oh, it's getting late. What room would it, you know, the whole thing. And so it was after my last drunk on a rainy December morning. I was so sick, so hungover. But you see, as long as I went to work and did what I was supposed to do, then I wasn't an alcoholic. I had my excuse, my reason, my validation for drinking. So I go to that office. I shouldn't be there. I look like death. And God did for me what I couldn't do for myself the first time. That's the first time. He's done it a lot since then. But he had the power go out in my office. I was still going to do my work, do what I had to do, keep that look good. The power went out in my office. And I have to say, in 30 years of my working there, that was the only time the power ever went out. Well, I had a meeting list in the trunk of my car from the year before, and I got my little rear end to a meeting on that cold, rainy Monday. And I have to say, if you would have told me that day what was a possibility of my life, I wouldn't have believed you at all. And I just wanted to stop drinking. And so I was so blessed in the beginning. First thing I did is I went to sleep really early. I still remember that first day sober. I couldn't believe I got through the day without drinking. And I went to bed like at 6:30 because I was a kitchen night drunk, so I didn't trust myself in that kitchen. But I kept that up. I went to bed early for a good part of my early sobriety. It was a little bit of a safety net. The other thing, in my first week of sobriety, I met my sponsor, the wonderful woman who introduced me, who has just shown me gentle, loving kindness and through everything. And at a meeting I went to, the person who shared said, write the third step prayer on an index card and put it in your visor. That was just part of his share. Well, I went home and I did that. And I put that index card on that visor and I just started saying that prayer, not even knowing what I was saying. And that helped me so much, even my early sobriety. It works even when you don't know how you're working it. And it's amazing. So those steps, now what I use with the third, how I do the third step. I use the third step, my God, you guys, every day. It helped to put me to sleep at night in my newly sober evenings. I would just say the third step prayer over and over as like a mantra. And it's one of the basis, the foundations of my sobriety today. And you can take that step, and you know, some days you just say, I offer myself to thee, because you just don't know what to do with yourself that day. You know, you're so upset or you're so angry, you're so grieving. So I just break that step down. Sometimes it's relieved me of the bondage of self, which is kind of what it was today, because I was in my head when I was driving here, and I just said, relieve me of the bondage of self. I don't have to sound good to these people. And all I know, being here today, I belong here. I so belong here, and it's just an affirmation one more time of how blessed I am to have been able to come to recovery. You know, there's so many people who don't make it here, and we're all miracles in all our parts of just being here. As far as working the steps, that wonderful sponsor of mine, when we first did step four, you know, people make such a big deal out of it, and they pull their hair out, and they want it to be the most perfect inventory. But Anne said to me, you know, you're just doing this so you can learn how to do it the first time, because you're going to have to do it for the rest of your life. And that took the pressure off, but it also was the beginning of the whole learning process, that looking at how we act differently. I had never heard the word motivation. What was your motivation? What? That was a foreign concept to me. And by doing the steps, we change our whole entire thought process. Needless to say, the verbiage, as soon as you walk into an AA or an Al-Anon meeting, it's like you need a translator to understand what are some of the words. And the good thing about it was I was so desperate, it didn't matter if I didn't understand. I knew I was in the right place, and if you stay, and it doesn't happen fast, just like alcoholism is a slow, insidious disease, boy, that it crept up on me. And also, recovery is a slow thing. You can't get results like that. It takes real time to incorporate working the steps in your life. You know, when I realize about so many things, what I've learned here, oh my God, the first thing I learned, which I still have to be reminded of, is that I have choices. I didn't have a choice whether to drink or not when I came home at night. In the morning, I'd drive to work, hands shaking, so hungover, and I'd say, I'm not gonna drink tonight. I'm not gonna drink tonight. But by the time I walked into that house, beeline for that refrigerator and get that wine, I didn't have a choice. But being here in Alcoholics Anonymous has given me a choice about that. I have been relieved of the obsession as long as I keep in close contact with my higher power. But what I've learned through the process of recovery is that we have a lot of choices in a lot of things. And I never really knew that at all in my life. I don't have to live with secrets anymore either. I was raised in a very secretive environment. I learned at a really young age not to ask questions that brought that look, you know, to people's faces. And then alcoholism and drug use fit in with that secret life. I took to it like a duck to water, because it fit how I was raised. Now in recovery, I don't have to have any secrets. I don't have to hide anymore. All that hiding of those bottles, all the hiding of every single thing, you're hiding and you're lying every time you open your mouth. And that's one of the biggest things. You're hiding, even without saying anything, because you're pretending. It was such a pretense that I was living. Me, I'm not drunk. I mean, and here I was drunk, and I would actually say that. You would smell like alcohol, and you would deny that you had been drinking. The denial of our disease, of my disease, was really, really strong. The other thing that I have learned is that I don't have to accomplish or clean or arrange or do something to be worthy of love. And I learned that here through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. As a little girl, I've been told, sit on people's laps and I would say, do you love me? Do you love me? I was so starved for validation. The only validation I had of myself was how I was reflected back from you. And it's truly, see, that's one of the things, you get sober, you don't know you're gonna get that. You don't know that you're going to start learning how to love yourself. And there's a dividing line about, I love taking care of people, I love doing things, I love things to be clean, I love to watch plants grow, but there's a dividing line between my natural instinct of what's healthy and what's not healthy, and who I'm doing it for, that I only learned here. The stopping of the drinking is just the first step. The elimination of our drinking is just the first step of, and then the rest of the transformation can happen. Just recently, my last thing I want to say about is what I've learned is about forgiving myself and others. I just can't even put it into words, and I know we have all been there, but the being able to accept people and know that they did the best they could, because we stop blaming other people for our disease. And recently my husband, I don't know how, he would call sometimes on the way down from fishing. He's a real big fly fisherman. And he would call on the way home. He told me this just recently. He would call to get the temperature to assess the situation at home, to see actually how drunk I was. Because with him gone, I would even just drink more, of course. So he said I would call sometimes, and he could tell by my slurring of my words, and how I knew I was that, God, I was that drunken woman who slurred her words, that Jekyll Hyde monster, creating chaos, just ready to pick a fight, ready to pick a fight. And he wasn't saying it in a bad way, he was just saying that he calls now, and that's not the person who's there. And so I cringed when he told me this. You know, that embarrassment, that feeling that you feel when you remember something of the past. But you know, because of this program, it only lasted for a moment. I said, gosh, I'm sorry that it was like that. But in the next breath, I forgave myself, because I'm not that woman anymore. There is a transformation that happens by working these 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's why in, like, the doctor's opinion, I don't know if you guys have read where Dr. Silkworth doesn't recognize somebody he had seen maybe a year or so before, who is now a sober, productive member of the human race, because that's what happens. We undergo a transformation here. And if anybody would have said that to me, I mean, I probably wouldn't have believed it, and who knows if I'd have stayed. So we stay to stop drinking, and then with the grace of God, we get to one day be on a stage talking to a room full of people about our wonderful, wonderful recovery. What a gift. Thank you.